listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, a lot to get to in the NFL, but the big story, of course, John Gruden resigning over the emails that were discovered in an investigation with Washington. Nobody to bring in better to talk NFL than Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, Tony. What's new, man?
Good, man. Frank is on the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. In terms of this Gruden story, it comes to an investigation with Washington. And just give us a timeline of how this all played out over the last few days.
Yeah, I mean, somebody decided to leak this John Gruden email about Demora Smith, which with some racial tropes in it, to the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, that was bad, and what's the NFL going to do, and you know, they got to suspend him or whatever. And apparently behind the scenes, the NFL was telling the Raiders, I mean, this is all based on reports, that, you know, here are these other emails. You know, these are bad. Raiders didn't do anything. Nobody did anything. He just coached over the weekend and apologized that he wasn't racist. And then on Monday night, you know, the New York Times comes out with the story of the rest of the emails with, you know, anti-gay, misogynistic, you know, I mean, just it just piled on then. And then an hour after that story came out, you know, John Gruden's no longer Raiders coach. I think there's a lot of shocking parts of the story, obviously, but one of them is just how quickly this happened. Right. I mean, if you would have told me Friday at noon that, hey, John Gruden's not going to survive week five, I mean, it would have been like, what? What? 3-1, he's doing fine. But just, you know, the yeah, one of the more, you know, a lot of these stories, a lot of the stories you cover, I've covered the league, I think it was my 21st year, now 22nd year maybe, and a lot of stories are shocking, right? Like, I mean, you remember, whoa, I remember where I was with that, but this one is up there because just based on how kind of out of left field it came and how kind of ugly all of this stuff was within those emails, and then just how quickly John Gruden, it goes from, you know, basically being almost a coach for life with the Raiders to being out before week five is even done.
This does, if you're a league and you're sort of opening your product up, you know, he couldn't survive this, right? There's no apology. He can't survive. He can't be a face of the NFL when the league is trying to go with a more inclusive fan base to have this guy as one of your 32 coaches. This wasn't survivable, was it?
I don't think it was. The guys in the locker room, I mean, you know, and just everybody you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, obviously, there's stuff in there about Roger Goodell. There was stuff in there about other NFL owners. Like, female referees. Like, I mean, just, how could you face, you know, your team every day? How could you face media every day? How could you face fans every day? It's just, it wasn't going to be. Once the New York Times story came out, it was kind of clear, yeah, Gruden's not surviving this. And you didn't know if it was going to happen today or, you know, 5 days from now or even last night. And it ended up happening last night.
You know, you just talked about this. We've both been covering this league a long time. And just you and I have been doing radio together for over 15 years in various spots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I ask this without any sort of excuse on Gruden's part. This absolutely deserves the resignation. But how have you seen the league change from a time where Gruden could send an email like this to an executive without that executive sending something back going, dude, you can't talk like this?
Right. I think the world's changed that way a lot. You know, I mean, just the stuff that, yeah, I mean, it's not okay anymore. It's not, and especially league circles. Yeah, I mean, I think there are probably some league executives who think this way, talk this way, but I don't think there's many. I really don't. I like to think there's, maybe I'm wrong, but I like to think there's not. I like to think we're, you know, a little more, you know, beyond all this, talking this way and, you know, and you know, this, even some of these guys thinking this way and some of the stuff you would hear about, you know, even black quarterbacks. I mean, that's all gone. I mean, just, you know, it's just the world is changing and we're, they're getting a lot smarter about everything, and hopefully more inclusive, and hopefully everybody, you know, just having an understanding of everything and being a little less ignorant in the world. And so I hope the league has made strides. I'm sure there's still pockets of people who, you know, there's pockets of people in everyday life who think this way. So I'm sure there's pockets of people in the NFL who think this way and talk this way. But I hope that's dwindling very quickly.
All right, let's get to another coach, because I cannot, Frank, get enough of Urban Meyer and what's going on in Jacksonville. I feel I don't know if it's fun, sad. I can't grasp it, but I'm addicted to what is he going to say next that is going to drive people crazy. Is he sabotaging himself? What is going on with this guy?
I don't think he is. I mean, everything about him. If you would have told me that he stayed behind last week, 2 weeks ago, in Cincinnati, just to kind of almost start the process of him getting a parachute out of there, it wouldn't surprise me. His body language is terrible. The way he talks is just like, I don't want to be here anymore. I went back. I think it was Bomani Jones was tweeting, just a series of tweets talking about Lou Holtz when he came to the NFL and coached with the Jets in 1976. And so I went back and read a story that he linked to. And Lou Holtz basically said a week into the preseason, or 3 weeks into the preseason, this is a lot tougher than I ever thought it was going to be. And I think almost Urban Meyer's in the same boat of, I thought this was going to be easy, and it's not. And wow, how do I get out of this? I mean, I don't know. That's guessing, but he's in over his head, clearly. Yeah. It's a lot different than he thought it would be. He is not successful. He's having, you know, whereas what he did 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati in the bar with the woman, I mean, I don't want to say that would be excused when he was back winning games at Ohio State, but we kind of know it is. Let's be honest. Like, when you're a god college coach, it's just kind of everything's different. You're treated like, again, you're treated like a god. You're treated like you're untouchable. The NFL, that doesn't work that way, especially when you're 0-4. Let's be real. Like, I mean, it's just, and everything's piling up. His team's bad on the field. He's done nothing in the last 9 months since he was hired. He has done not one thing that gives me any confidence that he's an NFL coach. And I honestly thought Shad Khan, the Jaguars owner, had his out. He had his excuse. He could have fired him last week and said that the behavior is unacceptable. We got to move on. When in reality, it was just about a football move, right? Like, it's pretty clear that this ain't working. And I don't think Urban survives the season. I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who does think Urban survives the season.
Yeah, and there's been a few college coaches who've had some success, but no matter what they say when they're in the college game. Like, when he was at Florida or Ohio State, he knows, no matter what he says, he did not have to work that hard the week that Florida was playing Eastern Michigan or whatever. You know, you don't have to. You can go to all the meetings. You can break down all the film. You can get your guys. But you know, talent on talent, you're going to win that game by 7 touchdowns. No matter what you think the NFL is. And he's a smart guy. He knows the NFL is a different level of play. I can't imagine how difficult it is to prepare for the impossible task of preparing for an NFL game every week at the highest level.
Yeah, and I mean, that is the difference. And I always talk, you know, obviously I talk a lot about point spreads. And you look, and there's going to be point, I haven't looked this week at the college football schedule, but I guarantee there's some 28, 27, right, 32 point spreads. Like when you're playing the Citadel, no offense to Citadel, God bless them. But there's no Citadel in the NFL. When we see a 14 point spread in the NFL, we're like, whoa, that's a huge spread. I mean, it's just, that's, and all the worst NFL team is not that much worse than the best NFL team.
Right,
it's just,
exactly.
That's how it goes. So you're right. Every single week you're playing, like, I think he's even said this, every single week you're playing Alabama, and that's the truth. Like, it's every single week you're going to have your A game, and it's 17 weeks, and it's a grind, and it's just different. The whole deal is different. You're dealing with professionals and instead of college kids who are a little bit scared of you. None of these pros are scared of this guy. And just, you know, I think the college coaches who come in and succeed are the ones without an ego. Matt Rhule. I think Matt Rhule's a great coach. And obviously, he was all, you know, college guy, did great at Baylor and all that kind of stuff. But he came in, and I don't think he had a lot of – he didn't come in acting like he knew the game and he was going to give his gift of football knowledge to these NFL players. He kind of came in a little bit more low-key. And I don't – you know, guys who – you know, Spurrier and Meyer and all those kind of guys who come in and just think they're the gift of football. And it just doesn't work. These professionals don't care what you've done in college. It's a little bit different, but it's the same. I think a lot of these Belichick assistants who come in, like Matt Patricia coming into Detroit, and thinking everybody's just going to be like, whoa, Matt Patricia won rings in New England. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care what you did otherwise. They care, what can you do for me today? How can you make me a better football player? How can you help us win games? These players don't care that Urban Meyer won championships at Ohio State, and I think that that's the difference that separates good college coaches from the ones who fail in the NFL.
I want to ask you about Buffalo, and I don't know how much stock you put in this, but because it's early in the season, there's a lot of football left. The playoffs are a different thing. We know that. But how much currency, for lack of a better term, do the Bills have winning that game against Kansas City, getting over a team that they have failed against a few times on their road to getting to one of the top teams in the league?
Yeah, and I think you kind of said it well. I mean, I think we're on the same page here. Where it does matter. It absolutely matters. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win. It doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl. But it's another step in their process, in their journey. This is a young, growing team, and they went on the road last year. They were beating everybody by double digits last year. They were a better team than Kansas City Chiefs were in the second half of last season. They just were. Go back and look. But they go into Kansas City, an experienced team with a great head coach and a great quarterback, and they lose. And, so you needed to take the next step in your journey of, hey, we can go on the road at Arrowhead Stadium and win. Had they gone on the road and lost this game, then it would have been lingering in the back of their minds. How good are we? Are we good enough to beat this team? And they got over that, and not only got over the hump, they hurdled it. I mean, they blasted the Chiefs. They were a far better team. And not only does it matter from that aspect, it matters just from the logistical aspect of the Chiefs are two games behind and lost a tiebreaker. Is it possible the Chiefs are three games better than the Bills the rest of the way? Sure, but I'm not going to bet on that. I don't think they will be. I think if the Bills face the Chiefs again, it's going to be in Orchard Park. So I just think that not only was it confidence-wise and tangibles, it helps. Tangibly, it helps too. Now you're kind of clear of the Chiefs a little bit, and you can start looking forward to that. You know, can we get that one seed, which is huge now, and not only one team gets a bye. So, yeah, I think it was a massive win in every way possible. Intangibly, tangibly, confidence. Everything you can get out of a win, the Bills got out of that win. It was really, really impressive.
Frank, always good talking to you, my friend. And good luck with the Brewers today against Atlanta.
Oh. Yeah, maybe they'll actually score today, Tony. Maybe they get some runs. One scoring play in three games has been not fun to watch, my brother.
Oh, man. Always good talking to you, my friend. Hope we catch up soon. Thanks, brother.
Dude.
You got it. Frank Schraub, Yahoo Sports. God, this was a long time ago. We used to talk Broncos in Colorado Springs. Golly. I love Frank. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the hour, get you set for Denton Day on Sports Map Radio.